guest here with us this morning, and we'll be having a conversation as the European Union today marks Europe Day, a day celebrating peace and unity in Europe. Now, the day is celebrated on the 5th of May by the Council of Europe and on the 9th of May by the European Union. Now, how does this relate to South Sudan and why is it important? As here in South Sudan, they're celebrating with the youth. So we get to find out the details of that as joining me right about now in the studio is the European Union Ambassador in the country, Timo Okkonen. Timo Okkonen, did I pronounce your name right, sir?
That's correct. Thank you very much. Good morning, and thank you for having me on the show.
Good morning. Good to have you in the program. Now, just briefly, tell us about this day, the Europe Day. What is it all about?
Well, the day, Europe Day, as we celebrate it on 9th of May, celebrates the beginning of European integration. It marks the day of 9th of May in 1950, when Robert Schuman, a French foreign minister at the time, proposed that European countries, six to begin with at those early days, only 5 years after the end of the Second World War, would pool together their coal and steel resources. Mm-hmm. Those were instruments of war. And basically all the Second World War was a story about using coal and steel for Europeans killing each other. Mm-hmm. And now there was this initiative that let's have this supranational control over these resources in order to make Europe, war in Europe impossible. And that was the start, that was the embryo of European integration, which has then spread in many, many, many other areas of life, and indeed has brought peace in Europe after that.
Yes, and how are you celebrating Europe Day here in South Sudan this year?
Well, that's quite exciting. Actually, today, this late afternoon, early evening, we will have an event with Seniors Hub, where we are there's going to be cultural performances, mm-hmm. poetry, music, and then we will have a discussion. I will be there to discuss also about Europe Day and cooperation between Africa and Europe, mm-hmm. And also how it relates to youth. And so it's an outreach on youth. Last year, 2022, was a year of youth proclaimed by the European Union. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of initiatives on youth that the European leadership, the European Commission have undertaken. And we do recognize the importance of youth. So that's very much. So that's going to be an interesting event today. Mm-hmm. And then on the 9th of May, we will have the official celebration where we are inviting our partners, government representatives, NGOs, diplomatic community, then to have a formal celebration about that with speeches and mm-hmm. and the rest.
Great. Now if I get it right, this one today will be at the Signers Hub.
Yes.
That is in High Malakal. If you haven't been there, you should try to be there this evening. Of course, I believe the event is open to every person who wants to come in.
It's an open event.
It's
yes.
an open yeah. event. Now, today's event, of course, you're celebrating under the theme Youth Engagement and European Union African Cooperation. Can you just elaborate more on that?
Yes. Well, for us, the relationship between our two sister continents, Europe and Africa, are not and should not be about just governments to governments. It should be also about people to people. Mm-hmm. It should be much about, you know, us, you know, because we share the same destiny, and it's more about just intergovernmental cooperation. And we need to look at the present day, we need to look into the future, and investing in youth, listening to youth, and engaging to youth is very much a part of that. Mm-hmm. It started with the EU-Africa Summit in Lisbon in 2007, where we had the first Africa-Europe Youth Summit preceding that summit, and then we had some consecutive summits where we had always a youth engagement, a youth summit before those Africa Union, European Union mm-hmm. summits. Mm-hmm. The last one was in 2017 when we had this youth engagement at a quote-unquote summit level. Mm-hmm. In 2022, we had again a summit, but not this youth summit preceding that because of COVID considerations, and that summit was delayed and was very much mocked about those problems that we have at that time. But we had an Africa-Europe Youth Week, where Africa-Europe Week, mm-hmm. where we had also youth organizations coming, and they give contributions to these discussions. And so now this commission has taken, or our current EU leadership have taken initiatives about fostering that cooperation further. Mm-hmm. There's an Africa Union, European Union Youth Lab, comprising of 50 different projects between our continents. There's now recently a call for a youth sounding board with members from Africa, Europe, and the wider world, which is then being going to be convened in June, and a number of projects as well. And it's also directing our cooperation. So we need to make sure that education, important factor, of course, for youth, has to be at least minimum 10% of our cooperation budget. So it takes different forms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier about the importance of youth. Now, in a country like South Sudan, where 70% population is youth, how can they utilize this kind of population and the advantage of this youth for the good of the country?
Yeah. Well, of course, the situation in South Sudan is particularly difficult, because of the post-conflict environment where we are, and the democratic institutions are just being built. So it is. There are challenges that you don't necessarily find in every country. Mm-hmm. But I think there are similarities in, you mentioned the proportion of youth.
Yeah.
That's very similar in other African countries as well. And in many countries, it's growing even faster than it is in South Sudan. So it is really crucial that we find the education opportunities, the employment opportunities for these youth, so that they could be, that the youth could be a positive human resource, mm-hmm. and not a part of the problem, as it sometimes is when you are, for example, using youth in armed conflicts and so forth, which unfortunately has happened also in South Sudan.
Okay.
So what we are trying to do in that respect is also to invest in that. We have invested in primary education, in vocational training. We want to look at cooperation in tertiary education as well. So in order to mobilize these human resources, that they would have a positive effect. So those are the kind of things that we are looking at and want to invest in and want to listen in. And I think it's one thing particular, or two things actually, when mm-hmm. we are going through this transition in South Sudan that are quite important, and where we have to look at the role of the youth, are the preparation for the elections mm-hmm. and the constitution-making process, which need to be open and engaging and take into account what the youth thinks and what they want mm-hmm. and how they see the future. Because that constitution will be for the youth.
Yes, and you did mention that the case of youth in South Sudan is a little different, of course, because of the post-conflict. Mm. And other young people are still, of course, as well, holding guns and all that. From your experience in working with youth in other countries, probably, or your own country, what do you think should be done to ensure that this youth, the capacity of this youth is built, they brought from this post-conflict experience to really being a very solution, rather, to be solutions of a problem in a country?
Well, we need to give positive alternatives. The unfortunate reality is that in many parts, also in South Sudan, the taking the gun and trying and extracting resources with the power of the gun is the easy way out, perhaps at the moment, because there's no good alternative. Or maybe you have to defend yourself with that gun, because of, the others have guns as well. So we need to move in order to have alternatives. Education is key. That's why we are investing in education to start with.
Tell us about more of that investment in education and the activities the European Union do here, particularly.
Well, first of all, we have a current program of, through UNICEF, where we are supporting education through a variety of aspects. It's a joint donor program, but mm-hmm. we are supporting it with 12.7 million euro. And it is, for example, providing incentives for teachers to stay in their locations and really engage the kids and teach them. We don't want to, and we can't replace the government. It's a government job to pay the salaries for the teacher, to uphold that educational structure. But meanwhile, while we are in the situation that there's a huge demand and lack of resources, we are trying to support from our side. So we are trying to, and you have to recognize that for many teachers, you know, qualified professionals that could maybe get employment elsewhere, maybe abroad, you know, going in a faraway village in South Sudan might not be, the interest, even if they have a burning desire to help. But, you know, they need to get by and manage where they are. So we're trying to support that. And then it also includes about teaching material and so forth. Right. Now, this is not in there for youth in the strict sense of the term, because this is more concentrated on primary education. But we then do have vocational training as well, mechanics, hospitality industry. We are supporting internships in this regard. And we have some quite nice stories. Actually, one event that we are also going to have today is that we'll have an open invitation of visiting some of the projects revolving around vocational training that's happening today. So we will be hearing some news about that during the course of the day. And finally, if I may, on the alternatives, livelihoods, of course, are important. So we are also looking at, you know, how to promote entrepreneurship amongst youth. So we have a number of entrepreneurship support programs, which are targeted especially towards women and youth. And I'm happy when I'm seeing the participation profiles. We are getting there. We are managing. We have a majority of youth and women engaging, and I think that's excellent.
Great.
Of course, in a country the size of South Sudan, you know, the needs are humongous, and we can't cover everywhere, but we're trying to work where we can and bring about a positive impact.
Yes, and just before we conclude this conversation here, what is your message to the leadership and the people of South Sudan? We have a lot ahead of us, from constitutional making process to elections, and on top of all this, now one of the biggest challenges, of course, is the crisis in Sudan, who is one of the grantors of the South Sudan Peace Agreement. What message do you have for the country and for the leaders?
Well, I think there's a window of opportunity of bringing about the transition period to end within the time frame agreed. We are facing significant delays, and those are a cause of concern. But I think, you know, my message would be that this should not be seen as so much as a challenge, but as an opportunity. You know, for South Sudan to move into a new track. I think the constitution-making process, for example, is a very exciting thing. You know, it's basically of establishing a new social contract for a country. Mm-hmm. What could be more fundamental, more important than that? I think it's really an opportunity, and I hope that everybody would, you know, be quite excited about that and enter into that discourse. Open discourse, you know, that would allow various views to come about and get, you know, to South Sudan on that right track, and so that, you know, the leadership will also then could look backwards and, hey, we established that legacy for the country.
Great.
That would be maybe what I would say.
Yes. But the thing here is, with the crisis in Sudan, don't you think all focus now, both from international community and even within, will be just pushed to Sudan, and then, like, here the implementation process will lack something?
I certainly see that the focus of, you know, we have to recognize, also in the West, you know, it's basically a couple of crises at the same time. It's difficult for the public view to concentrate on many things at the same time. And indeed, if you're thinking about the wider Horn of Africa area, now the world's eyes are on Sudan, you know, because of the tragic events that happened there. But I think it shouldn't be an excuse for us to drop the ball on South Sudan, but trying to use the remaining time, you know, to push, you know, and try to reach the target still, while it is still possible. So that's quite important. It is, we are also following, I have to say that, you know, we appreciate very much the efforts of His Excellency the President and the government of South Sudan in order to bring about the cessation of hostilities and bring South Sudan also on the track to peace. But what Sudan is also showing is a dangerous example of what happens if if we don't concentrate and keep our eyes on the task ahead.
Great. Thank you, Ambassador. Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios, and of course we wish you a very happy Europe Day.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.